Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
We're back, visiting with our friend and colleague Gordon Chang, a man who is kind enough to give us time each week. Gordon is, of course, one of the country's preeminent authorities on the Far East. He has published widely on the subject, including at The Daily Beast, Forbes.com, World Affairs Journal, two best-selling books, Nuclear Showdown, North Korea Takes on the World, and The Coming Collapse of China. Gordon is featured at Fox with great regularity, I'm happy to say, and of course with us each week. And Gordon, let me welcome you back. Good to have you.
Thank you so much, Frank.
Well, Gordon, I want to get, as we seem to be doing now, a kind of a weekly update from you about North Korea's missile program. They have apparently declared that a new medium-range ballistic missile is ready for manufacture and deployment. You're actually speculating that what we may be witnessing is the introduction in short order now of an intercontinental range ballistic missile. Talk a little bit about what's going on there and the pace with which the North Korean regime is pursuing these activities.
Well, the North Koreans are testing missiles at an extremely accelerated pace. And one of the missiles that they've tested recently is what they call the Hwasong-12. We call a KN-17. People say it's an intermediate-range ballistic missile. That's probably right. There's some analysts, though, who think that actually it is at the lower range of an intercontinental ballistic missile. But even if it's not, and it probably isn't, the North Koreans can put two or three of them together in one missile and make that an intercontinental ballistic missile able to reach not just Alaska, Hawaii, but also the lower 48 states. The North Koreans have been pretty good at testing stages of a missile, and they did that a couple days ago. This is very important for us because, you know, as we pay attention to other parts of the world, as of course we should remember that the North Koreans are making very fast progress on all sorts of weapons programs. And this is, of course, going to concern not only the region, but us.
Well, especially since we now have growing indications that the North Koreans are fitting these missiles with weapons of mass destruction, specifically nuclear weapons. A very troubling prospect, needless to say, as you indicated, for both the region and for us. Gordon, to the extent that we are of concern about all of this, you've written recently at Forbes.com that sanctions against the North may not work, that it has become somewhat resilient against them. What's the issue there? Is it China?
China, of course, is helping North Korea get through a very difficult period. China accounts for more than 90% of North Korea's external trade, provides more than 90% of its crude oil, much of that on concessionary terms. Of course, China provides diplomatic support for North Korea. But the most important thing that China provides to the North Koreans, Frank, is confidence. It's confidence to senior regime elements that they are safe from the United States, from South Korea, from the rest of the world. So therefore, they stick with Kim Jong-un, who I'm sure right now they're very concerned about, because Kim has been killing senior regime figures, perhaps maybe 155 of them. And when you add in junior officials who go to the camps and we don't see, that's perhaps a death toll of somewhere in the 500 range. So it's China that is keeping that regime together. And China, if it wanted to, could disarm North Korea very quickly by just signaling that it no longer supports the Kims. And that, I think, would be the defining point where regime elements then decide to ditch Kim and perhaps even ditch their weapons programs because China indicates that's not what they want them to do.
Well, it's something to be striven for. Of course, it doesn't seem to be in the offing at the moment. I want to come back to China with you, but very quickly, Gordon, what is the new government of South Korea doing in the face of this increasingly aggressive behavior? Of course, the new president has run on a campaign of normalizing relations with the North once again, a sort of sunshine policy 2.0. Is that going forward, notwithstanding all of this?
Well, right now, the new government of Moon Jae-in is trying to patch up relations with China. They sent an envoy last week to see Xi Jinping and other Chinese leaders. And right now, Chinese media is talking about how South Korea may actually ditch THAAD, Terminal High Altitude Area Defense. It's the U.S.-built missile system that is now deployed on South Korean soil. It angers China for a number of reasons. One of them is that they believe that the South Koreans are vassals and the vassals shouldn't do anything to upset a grand, munificent China. And we, the United States, have not been doing enough to support our South Korean ally because the Chinese have been imposing unilateral sanctions on the South Koreans in all sorts of ways. And we're not complaining, at least not in public, and I don't think in private either. And we're not supporting the South Korean economy to take account of the Chinese penalties. So this is, again, another case of the United States failing to support its allies in something that helps us, because that THAAD missile system, despite what we say, can be used to defend the American homeland, not only against North Korean missiles, which we admit to, but also against Chinese missiles. And so we have a direct interest in this. We're not defending ourselves. And this really is a pattern that goes back a number of administrations. And I believe, Frank, if I can rant just for a second, that when history looks back at Bush, Obama, and perhaps even Trump, they will say that these administrations did not protect the American homeland in the face of obvious threats.
Yeah, this is an important point near and dear to our hearts, needless to say, and one that must be addressed. Speaking of China, you've written an important piece at the Hoover Institution's Strategica publication about what we should be doing vis-a-vis China. And, Gordon, I was struck by two things. One, you refer to an old friend of mine, Dr. Arthur Waldron at the University of Pennsylvania, and his admonition that we have, quote, taught China to ignore our warnings, unquote, an ominous thing to do. And secondly, you have laid out four steps that we ought to be taking to sort of reset, if you will, our position vis-a-vis the Chinese and hopefully give them reason to heed our warnings and desist from behavior that is threatening to us, either through their proxy North Korea or otherwise. Can you walk us through the thrust of that article?
The most important thing is that we really need to see China clearly, and we need, as Confucius said, to rectify names, to call things by their proper names. We say that China is a friend and a partner. No, it's not. It's an adversary and probably also an enemy. I also say as a second step that Washington needs to impose costs on China. We haven't been willing to do that, and certainly in this administration, they've continued a bad pattern. We need to work more closely with our friends and allies. That's the third step. And the fourth step is something that we forget, and that is we have to acknowledge and we have to say that American power is a force for good in the world and that we don't really need China's permission to act. We have sort of outsourced our foreign policy to the Chinese. This is especially evident in the Obama administration, and is also becoming a pattern in the Trump administration as well. This is something that we have to understand. The United States can act alone. Trump has acknowledged that, but only sort of as a rhetorical point. I'd like to see him make good on that, because the Chinese, as you point out, are not helping on North Korea. They're not going to help. They're going to delay the process, give the North Koreans time to develop their weapons that threaten us. And we need a radical change in attitude with the way we look at Beijing.
Yeah, not least looking clearly at what they're doing to not only prop up the regime in North Korea, but to enable the threat that it poses to us. Gordon, these are important insights. Again, I commend to everyone what you can find in the way of a trove of extraordinarily important information at gordonchang.com, including a link to his new piece at Hoover Institution's Strategica. Gordon Chang, we have to leave it at that. Thank you so much for your time today. We'll look forward to talking with you again next week and to talking with the rest of you again tomorrow. Same time, same station. Until then, this is Frank Gaffney. Thanks for listening.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.